Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
For as long as man can remember, the idea of two podcasting superpowers joining forces has been the ultimate dream in entertainment. Two highly respected content creators working in unison to provide the gold standard in wrestling audio. A pair of intelligent and insightful people discussing high quality topics and educating the audience through the superior opinions they hold. In reality, that won't happen for this show. All of those people are far too busy. So I guess we are stuck with Cy and Mags, a pair of right plonkers, talking daft nonsense.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever, whenever you may be listening. This is episode one of Chain Wrestling with Mags and Cy. I am Cy, and with me, the big popper pump to my dog-faced gremlin is the podfather himself, Mags. How you doing, mate?
Wow, what an intro. The big popper pump. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Excited. My dog-faced gremlin.
Excited to start this new project. When you approached me about it a few weeks ago, and like we kind of like got the basics of the idea, yeah, it was something that really intrigued me. It's hard to kind of have a new idea in podcasting with wrestling. There's just so many out there, and I thought that this was like a fresh take and kind of a new way to kind of look at some older matches and change up. Yeah, so when you came with the idea of chain wrestling, I thought, yeah, this is something I'd like to be involved in.
Yeah, and I'm really, really happy that you said yes, because I understand how busy you are, because you've got like 47 podcasts.
More than I've got fingers and toes.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we should sort of clarify the idea, the premise of the show initially. What we plan to do is basically look at one particular match. Whether it's on the serious end and it's a technical masterclass, or whether it's something silly or daft, or even something absolutely awful, we'll look at one particular match, and then after viewing the match, Mags and I will both make a link, I suppose, to another match, whether that's via the title belt that was on the line, or whether it's via a certain pay-per-view, or however we can make a sort of semi-realistic, maybe loose, maybe very dodgy link to another match.
Incredibly tenuous links.
Yeah, exactly. And then we will put Mag's choice and my own choice up on the show's Twitter, which is @chain_wrestling. And then all you wonderful people out there listening, all four or five of you, I hope that will vote for what you want us to look at next week. And then after next week's match, we will then again link somehow to the next one, and so on. And in the idea being that we get a few episodes in, or however many we do, you can always trace back through the links of the matches, and again, like the play on words to form like a chain, as in chain wrestling. How did you describe it, Mag? 6 degrees of how was
it? There's a game called 6 degrees of separation, where you can link anybody in the world to somebody else, or it's usually like celebrities or famous people, where you can link anybody from that world to anybody else in six links or less. So like, for instance, you could go from like Danny DeVito to Sylvester Stallone, and you link how Danny DeVito may have worked with a certain person who is married to such and such a person, and then you get your way to Sylvester Stallone. It's kind of that kind of thing, and it's the same kind of idea we'll be doing with this show, where we'll be talking about a certain match, and then we'll have some really tenuous links on how that links to the next matches going forward, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. All done, hopefully, sort of, you know, from a very lighthearted viewpoint. We're starting today, as hopefully you would have seen on the social medias and so on, with Scott Steiner versus Booker T from the WCW Mayhem 2000 event. Mags and I, when we knew this project was going to be starting, came up with two choices each. I chucked them out as a Twitter poll a while back, just asking about random matches. And the people voting, I mean, it had quite a few votes, thankfully, which I'm grateful for. Thank you to everyone who did vote. The people voting, I suppose, unknowingly, were deciding the first topic, the topic for today's episode number one. In theory, then, that each show, even this very first one, has, in theory, the final decision has been made by people listening, which I think's a great way to look at it, and hopefully get people involved and just have a bit of fun laughing at some daft wrestling mags, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Scott Steiner, Booker T, the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, mm-hmm. November the 26th, 2000, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Less than 4,000 people there, Mags. I think that's a big sign as to how WCW is going at this time.
Yeah, well, this is literally in the kind of like the death throes of WCW. They'd had the like the hearts of the Attitude Era, and then the NWO that was bloated and out of there. And they were kind of pushing for the likes of Jarrett and Booker to be the big stars now. And yeah, and the fans had disappeared, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that 4,000 were actually papered, if they were like comp tickets.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. When you mentioned Jeff Jarrett there, I mean, obviously it's a huge surprise to everyone involved in wrestling that he wasn't a big draw, I'm guessing. How did this not work out, eh? You know?
I mean, I think he's the big draw in his own head.
Yes, that's it. The stipulation for this match is another little insight, I guess, to WCW at this time, and I suppose the previous 12 months of the company. Just crazy, silly daftness. We have a steel cage match, which in WCW in 99-2000 was used a great deal. I think most Nitros mm-hmm. had a cage hanging above them, just in case. Just in case. But this one was a steel cage straight. I can't even get the words out.
It just makes, I mean, this match, if you'd have left it as a steel cage match, it would have been absolutely fine. Adding the extra stipulation, and you can tell this is a lot of Vince Russo-esque kind of booking, where he's adding like stipulations in that just didn't need it. I mean, there's no even explanation why a straitjacket is involved. Absolutely none whatsoever. Yeah. So it's like, oh, we can't just have a standard straitjacket match, standard steel cage match. Let's throw a straitjacket in. We can't just have a something on a pole match. Let's throw a forklift in. You can't just. It's that kind of that kind of booking mentality. Can't just have one cage match. We'll have three cages stacked on top of each other. Just getting more and more ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose the amount of times they've had cage matches on Nitro and Thunder and on their free television, they need to do something, I guess, when they have a cage match on a pay-per-view to try and attract eyes potentially. But I think
that was the problem, the fact that they used it, the cage, so many times that it lost all kind of sense of being special. So they had to do something to ramp that up. And with the straitjacket, it looks like they just looked over the shoulder, see what's around, and, oh, yeah, we'll stick the straitjacket in the middle of the, in the, on the roof of the cage. Yeah, just made no sense.
Just insane. Yeah. So as I tried to say before, I started giggling like a silly little kid. The stipulation, obviously, as it's now been made clear, is a straitjacket steel cage match. And the visual, if you go back and have a look, the WCW cage at the time was very much, in a way, it looked very much in the old Hell in a Cell style. It had a roof on, and the cage was always a little bit wider than the ring. I quite like that. I think that's quite cool.
Yeah, when I was watching the match, I was thinking, that's a really well-constructed cage. Because if you remember the Hell in a Cell matches, it's all kind of like chain-link fencing, stuck together kind of thing, where this is, you can see where it's actually got a steel girder frame. I thought it was a well-constructed cage. It's at the perfect height as well, that it wasn't just in too enormous for words. Yeah, I thought that the cage itself was really well constructed.
Yeah, which is something I don't think you can say oddly about the ring itself. Did you notice how wobbly the ropes were?
Yeah, and how the stuff that Booker goes looking under the ring for is just not in the place where I think he checks under every single apron. yeah
again, brilliant, typical WCW, fantastic, isn't it? So at the beginning, I guess we say typical WCW at this time, silly stuff. They're still using Michael Buffer to do their ring announcing, for their big main events. They're paying this guy a substantial amount of money. He doesn't come cheap.
I think it was $30,000 per appearance.
$30,000?
Yeah.
My goodness.
And that's with 4,000 people in, that's a massive chunk of the revenue right there.
And the thing with WCW as well is, and this is something they've had an issue with the whole time I looked back and watched any WCW events from any era, it does stand out. They've always had issues with the sound, and you can never quite get the ring entrance music and the ring entrance announcer and the commentators, if they're talking, the levels never seem right. One always seems off, or you can't hear the music properly or whatever. On this match, the guy they're paying this substantial sum to, you can't hear him talking because Tony Schiavone and the other commentators decide just to talk over the top of him.
And yeah, it's ridiculous. And whilst we're getting onto the entrances, I don't think in 2000 WCW cared about the risk of epilepsy, because Scott Steiner's entrance was horrific. I'm glad I don't have epilepsy, because I would have had a seizure. The amount of flashing lights and the loud music, like you said, Tony Schiavone talking over Michael Buffer. Yeah, it's interesting that some of the same players are now in AEW and they're having a lot of the same problems.
So I mean, Steiner as the challenger comes out first, looks absolutely fantastic, doesn't he? Look at the size of the bloke, it's just insane. Obviously he's aided by certain substances, I would assume, even though Steiner quite clearly states he's never failed the drugs test. Fair play to him.
If you never take one, you can never fail. Yeah,
exactly. Booker T comes out as well, with a world title, gets jumped early on, and then obviously the whole purpose of a cage is to keep the competitors in and everybody else who may interfere outside, which worked really well here, Max, didn't it? Because what's her name, Medasia?
She was locked in
the cage with them.
Yeah, which absolutely made sense.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You can tell that Medasia was definitely kind of their WCW's Walmart version of China. The way she I almost thought it was China. She looked that much like her.
Yeah, it looked like she'd borrowed her little sister's top that wasn't quite quite well fitting for her. Was, you know, and she's walking around with this lead pipe. I think it was a lead pipe she had, or something like that. Yeah, but I mean, again, Scott Steiner's gimmick and look and whole character at this time, I really enjoyed. I'm a big Steiner fan.
Yeah,
simply because he's just insane, isn't he? He's just brilliantly mad. You know,
and they said it on commentary as well that he's the most uncontrollable person in wrestling, and yeah, and I believe that 100% is a shoot. I don't think that was character. He was just he's mental, absolutely mental. The amount of promos where he just goes off the script. I mean, there's the famous Ric Flair one where he starts saying that he needs to go and get his crooked teeth sorted. Yeah, the guy is an absolute nutter. But at this time, it was a suplex machine, and some of the moves he could pull off were absolutely superb.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a real shame that when he came to the WWE a few years after this, was it 2003? He was there, wasn't it, facing Triple H at the Rumble? It's a real shame that injuries had took its toll by that stage. It'd been great to have seen this Steiner in the WWE, sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing he doesn't do very well is selling, but even that he does in this match, I mean, to the point of ridicule. I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the finish, but yeah, this is probably the best big popper pump in terms of wrestling that I've watched. Not watching a lot of from this time. Yeah, it's the best actual wrestling that I've seen him do.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I think you're right there. I mean, there are a few moments in the match that stand out from Steiner himself. The old elbow drop gets the 1-2 and then turns into a load of push-ups. I always enjoy that. Just fantastic stuff. The commentators at some stage early on, though, were ludicrously, considering what was going on the other channel and in Japan at the time, were trying to get Scott Steiner and Booker T over as the best two anywhere in the world. Do you think Booker T and Scott Steiner in 2000 were the best two anywhere in the world, Mags?
I mean, Booker T, you could have argued the case he should have been in the conversation, but Scott Steiner, no. Come on, man.
No. Again, more WCW silliness. It's fantastic. But we'll get a bit more from the commentators in a few minutes, I feel. We get a look at the straight jacket. It's kind of just oddly hanging there in the corner of the cage.
It's held it on like by two bulldog clips, I think.
Yeah, it looks like someone's, like, you know, been on the top of the cage helping assemble it and has just forgotten to pick their jacket up.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just looks so out of place. Even though it's in the name of the match, it's in the stipulation, it states very clearly, straight jacket steel cage match.
Yeah, when you see it's the first word in the stipulation, and yeah, you just get little glimpses of it every now and again, and fleeting comments towards it from the commentary. So they don't make it a big deal that it's a straight jacket match. It was really weird.
And then when they get it down as well, it's again, it's not getting made a big deal of. The wrestlers don't make it that much of a big deal either. It's hardly involved.
No,
there's like one incident.
It's for one spot. It's literally used for one spot. Steiner gets it gets it down after fluffing, climbing up the ropes in the first place, and then Booker gets him on his. Gets Steiner on his shoulders and does like the execution drop. Then whilst Steiner is down, and this is where his selling comes into play, he acts like he's been murdered because he's like a limp dead body. Booker's trying to put this straitjacket on him, realises he's putting it on the wrong way around, has to take it back off, then make sure it's not turned inside out, then puts it on the right way around. In all this time, Steiner's out like a lat, like he's been shot. He gets the two arms on. Then obviously they have hooks at the back to fasten the back up. Booker fastens the bottom hook of one side to the like near the top of the other side. So there's no way he can fasten the rest of it up. And then the spot that it's involved in is just Scott Steiner ripping the arms off it off. So he had absolutely no... It didn't hold him in any, like, with his arms up against his chest. There weren't any kind of moves done with it. It was just Steiner, put this on, and then rip the arms off it, and then take it off, and it's never mentioned again. It's weird.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. A couple of little gems, again, from the commentary team here. And it's... I love Tony Schiavone. He's fantastic. But some of the stuff he comes out with in this match... It almost adds to how daft it is. It almost adds to the ludicrous nature of it. Initially, when Steiner's trying to climb up and get the straitjacket down, he grabs hold of it, and Tony Schiavone shouts, "It's not easy getting that down." Oh, literally, as Steiner just puts one hand on it and takes it down.
Yeah, just yanks it.
Yeah, it's not easy getting that down. Oh, it's done. Okay. just like going completely against what Schiavone said. When Steiner was put in the jacket, and he sort of sat upright on the mat, he just looks ridiculous, doesn't he? He looks like a little kid who's been given his big brother's hand-me-down jumper, and it's too big for it. It's oversized, just hanging off him everywhere. And then when he rips it, you get somebody from commentary, I don't know who it was, trying to exclaim how incredible that was, how much strength Steiner has used to break this straitjacket, not because it's an actual straitjacket, which apparently you shouldn't be able to get out of. That's not mentioned. But the fact that it's reinforced cloth is what makes Steiner's achievement of breaking out of this straitjacket all the more impressive. That reinforced cloth, Mags.
Yeah, and you definitely can't tell it's a gimmicked straitjacket because it gives it the slightest tug. Mm-hmm. And the full arm comes off, not like a little rip. It's literally the full arm that was held on with dent. No way that was a solid straitjacket. Just ridiculous. They obviously come up with a spot that they thought was going to look amazing, and it's going to be like the star of the show, and it went down like a fart in church.
Yep. Definitely. Houdini with muscles, he's described as from the Escapes and Straitjacket. Another fantastic line. You mentioned the finish, Mags. Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah. So the straitjacket's obviously on the floor. Hidden underneath it is a chair that Booker had brought in the ring earlier, the chair that he went searching around the whole of the ring for. And just as Booker hits the axe kick, even though he'd been in control of the match for the last few minutes, 4 or 5 minutes or so, he then suddenly is absolutely worn out and needs a few seconds on the deck to recover. In all that time, Scott Steiner has gripped the chair, stood up, Booker T turns around, takes a chair to the head, and loses the match. He gets put in the Steiner recliner, pretends to be fighting, and then goes to sleep. And it's the weakest kind of like choking out of a wrestler that you'll see, because 1 second is really struggling and kind of like trying to fight his way out, and then he just closes his eyes and pretends he's asleep. Ridiculous. Yep.
And so begins Big Papa Pump's first world title reign. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And he didn't stop there, though, to kind of nail down that he's crazy. Didn't celebrate the fact he's a world champion. He just laid the everlasting piss out of Booker T with his chair, all whilst Booker T's brother, Stevie Ray, is on commentary and refused to get in the ring because Booker told him, whatever happens, don't get involved. So he has to sit there and watch his brother get filled in with a chair by Scott Steiner.
It's absolutely just so ludicrous. But he's been unleashed, hasn't he? That's the whole thing. He's been unleashed. That was the whole show's, how would you word it, like tagline or secondary title? The genetic freak of sports entertainment has been unleashed. So there you go. The warning was there for everyone involved. Booker T as well. He's foolish to step into that ring with him. It's all there. It's in front of you. So,
hidden in plain sight.
Exactly. If anyone has not seen sort of late WCW, sort of 99, 2000, and then ultimately into 2001 when they finally went under, and they want a little snippet as to how daft and how silly, but at the same time, because it is quite funny to look back on how entertaining it can be at times, this match, I think, proves a good little example of that craziness, of that ludicrous, ridiculous company at this time. They did some silly stuff, didn't they? And I think this is very, very high on that silly scale.
Yeah, I mean, they always seem to have that, the seed of a good idea or of a good storyline, but then just convolute it with the most ridiculous, like, garbage that the good parts of the storyline was lost, and it ended up just being ridiculously silly. If this would have been kept simple to a wrestling match or a cage match, it would have been 10 times better. Adding the ridiculous stipulation of the straitjacket, which added nothing to the match, it took away from the match for me. I would have rated this match a lot more higher if it wasn't for a ridiculous hand-me-down straitjacket hanging from the roof of the cage.
Hand-me-down straitjacket. Fantastic. Hey, reinforced cloth, Max, mind.
All right, reinforced cloth.
You don't just throw away reinforced cloth. You hand that down. Every child gets that reinforced cloth. You don't just throw that away. You say about how you rate it then.
Kids.
Yeah. You say about how you rate it then. I'm thinking we'll look at matches, I suppose, out of 10. How does that sound as we do this little show of ours? How do you rate this out of 10 with regards to the entertainment you got out of it, how silly it was, it just in general?
Okay. I mean, we're probably going to watch some way worse wrestling than this, so I don't want to kind of set my stall too early and say that this is super low, because we know that there was worse than this. So I'm going to go with a 5.
Yeah, I think 5's realistic. I was going to say 5 myself, actually. I think 5's realistic. And that's good, because it's middle of the road. So as we go forward, we can say, is this better or worse than the straitjacket steel cage match?
Good God. Hopefully better.
Hopefully so. And that, I suppose that's a good time to sort of step towards the next link in the chain, I guess. We'll both put forward a suggestion for the next episode. And when this episode comes out via Visionaries Global Media, the wonderful people there, When the day it drops, I'll chuck the poll up on the show's Twitter, which again is @chain_wrestling. And then people can give us a vote and decide which one of our selections they want us to look at and potentially laugh at on the next show. Shall I go first, Max?
Go for it. Let's see what you pull out of your bag to link to this amazing match. Please say it's not another straitjacket match.
It's not, no. I mean, I'd like to try and find one.
don't try and find one.
My link is quite a stretch, I'm not going to lie, but I think this is going to be the sort of funny theme that we're going to end up with. My link is quite a stretch. I'm looking at here Steiner and Booker T being very low-end company going out of business. It's a show that's not in a good shape as well. So I thought I want to go the other end of the scale. I want to go big. I want to go attraction, making money, and so on. And I thought, how would you like to look at a main event of a WrestleMania next episode, Mags? How would you fancy that?
Let's see what your main event is, though, first.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with Booker T at various points in his career. He went under the name G.I. Bro, if you remember. He was the name that in WCW for a short time, and he worked under that name before coming into WCW. But they used it again in WCW as well. The old G.I. Bro, the camouflage and the army gear. Obviously, that's a sort of funny little wordplay on G.I. Joe.
Wow. I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going.
You're going WrestleMania 7, aren't you?
I am, 100%, mate, 100%.
I've literally just had to sit through this ordeal not long ago. You're going to make me sit through it again.
I am. I'm going to do it again. I want to see Hulk Hogan save the world.
Do you? Do you want to see this, do you?
No, I don't really. But no, G.I. Bro, obviously a play on words to the whole G.I. Joe character, cartoon, comic book person, whatever he was. Sergeant Slaughter had a big deal with G.I. Joe when he was in the AWA, and obviously he was WWF champion at WrestleMania 7. So my very stretched out, dodgy, very, very weak link via Booker T, G.I. Bro, G.I. Joe, Sergeant Slaughter, is I'd like us to go back and have a little giggle at WrestleMania 7, Hulk Hogan versus, well, Hulk Hogan saving us from the nasty Saddam Hussein and his Iraqi sympathizer, Sergeant Slaughter.
That is a horrific pick. My pick, and I think hopefully it's going to win. I said to you in the pre-recording chat that show episode one, and I'm already kind of breaking the rules because what I'm actually linking to is you can't technically call it a match, but okay. I still have a feeling it's going to win because it's one of the probably the most popular segments in WWE history. So I'm thinking the 13th of December 2001 on an episode of SmackDown. Now, so Booker, this was Booker in WCW in 1999, was getting to the top of a company that was dying. He'd be one of the first to do the jump and one of the bigger stars to do the jump during the Invasion angle. But after that, he was able to capitalize and make himself into a much bigger star in the WWE. And he had a storyline which ultimately didn't end up leading to a pay-per-view match. Now, I kind of wish it did because it would have been like a kind of like a dream storyline, but he did have a fight. I'm going with Booker T and Stone Cold Steve Austin having a brawl in a supermarket.
Oh, why? I have not seen that in years.
How good of a pick is that?
I'm liking that pick. I'm liking that pick. It just depends on whether people want to see, I suppose, Steve Austin and Booker T, you know, run amok amongst all the groceries, or they want to see Hulk Hogan, you know, save the world. Is that a choice?
It's a hard choice.
Okay. Well, as I said, there we go. Those are our choices. We have Booker T and Steve Austin, their grocery store battle, I suppose, for want of a better term, from Mags, and Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, WrestleMania 7 from myself. As soon as this episode is out and available to people, I'll post the poll as the pinned tweet on the Chain Wrestling Twitter, again, at @Chain_Wrestling. Please like it, share it, vote, let us know your thoughts.
And follow.
Follow
@Chain_Wrestling as well.
Definitely. Mags, do you want to let everyone know where they can find you?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. I would round through all the podcasts that I'm involved with, but that would be longer than this actual straight jacket steel cage match. But yeah, you can find links on for all my stuff at DJ Kirby.
Great stuff. I am at SJP Words. And again, find this show at @Chain_Wrestling. Chuck it a follow, vote in the poll. And that's that for episode one. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers, Mags. I'll speak to you soon.
Yep, same to you.
Si and Mags, a pair of right plonkers, talking daft nonsense.